From the deepest place I have inside, and then Andrea and IRC, I welcome you, we welcome you to your retreat, to our retreat. And one of the things that I find very inspiring about these online retreats is that the retreat is so inclusive of our life as it unfolds during this time. It includes the home we're living in, the situation of our home, whatever happens, if the toilet overflows, your toilet has become part of the retreat for all of us. If your animal needs to go to the vet, that's part of the retreat. If someone you're living with has needs, that becomes part of the retreat. This idea that we just keep opening the retreat up to be inclusive is a part of the opportunity of this, and discovering how this practice can really include everything that we encounter. We don't want to intentionally open it up. You don't invite all your neighbors over just so they can be part of your retreat too. The idea is to practice and engage in the practice and in as much of a traditional way that makes sense, but in a non-traditional way compared to IRC, being at IRC, you're ever ready to be include everything and just hold everything in your awareness, in your heart. And in that, we want to make sure that all your circumstances that you're in is welcome to be part of this retreat. Sometimes on retreat, we make it clear that whoever you are, whatever your personal circumstance, you know, your ethnicity or your race or your gender or your abilities or your what are some of the things we say? Your religious background, your criminal record, your educational level, the wish, the heartfelt wish at IRC in this kind of retreat is to really make everyone feel welcome, no matter what, who they are. And that's included as part of the retreat. And it's not always so obvious that we're able to do that, but you can encourage us if you feel like we've left something out. But now with this home retreat, it also includes, you know, so much more, that whatever your home situation is like is wholeheartedly accepted or included and welcome to be part of this for all of us. And so I hope that you feel that everything that you are is welcomed as part of this. The retreat has a theme, like many of the retreats at IRC has, and it's a particular set of teachings or practices connected to what's called variety of things, but most commonly clear comprehension, sometimes clear knowing, clearly knowing, and central part of the Buddha's teachings on mindfulness. And it's part of the variety of ways in which we can be attentive. I like the word attention because it's really broad. It doesn't have a specific meaning, at least in my vocabulary. The word attention encompasses many of the different attentional capacities that we have. We're aware in many different ways. It's not just one way to be aware. And the Buddha's teachings on awareness practice, mindfulness practice, uses different aspects of awareness, different ways of being aware in different circumstances. And clear comprehension is part of it. In the discourse on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, in some sense, you could say that the core practice is knowing, pajanati. And over and over again, those instructions is to know what's there, to recognize what's happening. And when that knowing becomes strong, then it becomes some pajana, and it becomes clear knowing with some kind of clarity or strength or power to it. And so we go develop, we start with knowing, with basic recognition of what's happening in the moment. And that grows until it becomes something very special, something really rich, and this clear knowing. And that clear knowing, clear comprehension is applicable in many different dimensions of our life. And when you get into the time after the Buddha, Theravada Buddhism has expanded what clear comprehension means to be a wider kind of understanding or engagement of our lives in four different areas. It's understanding the suitability of practice, what's suitable, what's skillful in any given time, to have wisdom about that, to have a clear sense of purpose, that that's part of wise comprehension or wise knowing, to know why you're doing something. And then to have to clearly understand the domain or the range or the place, the location for where the practice occurs, what the practice is about. And then to have clear comprehension about non-delusion, about what part of the aspect of life where there's no delusion, a form of wisdom perhaps. And so this is kind of the themes that will go through the retreat, this clear comprehension. And one of the reasons I delight in this is that as part of the attentional capacities we have, these are the capacities in practice we're discovering how they work for us. We're developing them, cultivating them, making them stronger. We're celebrating them. We're appreciating them as natural capacities we have. We're practicing them, and we're also being practiced by them. We're being supported by them. And sometimes I have this image of we're floating on the ocean of our awareness practices as opposed to always swimming and doing. There's so many different ways of relating and discovering and practicing with awareness. I look forward to the chance to kind of look at some of the different aspects of it through this retreat. And I'll say finally that, as other people have said this, and I want to emphasize it for my own sake, maybe in a way that I'm kind of idiosyncratic. I'm kind of amazed and at awe at this capacity human beings have to be aware, to be aware of anything, to be conscious, to have attention. And I feel so much that, I am an integral part of this universe. I come out of the universe. I am the universe, part of it. And we'll go return to the universe. The universe is like, this is the big container for us. And that in some way, this evolution of humanity is one of the ways that the universe is aware of itself. It's aware of itself through us. But it's such a rich and unusual kind of awareness that, but what a thing to be, for the universe to be aware through us, and how important it is for us to be aware. And what is it that comes alive? What is born when we're aware in the present moment, where we can be in the present, really to discover and be in awe of the capacity of awareness that's only going to occur when we're in the present, when really attentive, embodied, and fully here. What is this universe that's aware of itself? And what is it? They ask if when a tree falls in the forest, is there a sound if no one's there? Is there a sight object when our eyes are closed and we're not looking? And what humans see is only a particular range of the wavelength, and some animals and insects and birds see very differently than we see. So are we seeing the universe, or what are we seeing? What are we hearing? And when we are not aware, is the universe there? What is this awareness, and what is this world we find ourselves in? And I'm kind of delight and awe and appreciate and ready to celebrate our capacity to be present. And I hope that in the course of this retreat, that this as we explore and develop and cultivate and appreciate our capacity to be aware, that it also helps us, it liberates us, it brings us freedom, it brings us alleviation of suffering, Because at the heart, this intentional practices of Buddhism are meant to address some of the deepest existential and personal and sufferings that any human being can experience, and some of the things our world is facing these days. The Dharma was designed for these times, and for you to be on retreat during these difficult times is really to engage with one of the core things that Buddhism really, I believe, really has to offer as a support for the whole world. You will be supporting the world by being on retreat this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Gil. I appreciate that inspiring reflection that our awareness is the universe being aware of itself. And it makes me reflect on the responsibility that comes with that. And, a kind of ethical responsibility to be aware, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of all beings, for the sake of the universe. Often on these retreats, we do have this Dharma, which Gil offered, and then followed with reflection on the refuges and the precepts. And I'm just going to reflect really briefly, particularly about the refuges. You're all experienced students and have done this many times. So I just want to remind us all of the refuges as being a real a place of safety for us, a place of orientation to orient our lives around the Dharma. Orient our lives around the teachings the Buddha offered, the direction of freeing our hearts and minds of suffering is a way to support the universe, a way to support each other. We don't practice for ourselves alone in this practice. It's actually not possible if we're practicing in the way that the Buddha encouraged us. It's not possible to just practice for ourselves. And so the taking of the refuges is really orienting ourselves to the Buddha, the appreciation of the Buddha for his awakening, for his what he understood, for the appreciation that someone found this path, the path of the Dharma. This is the teachings of the Dharma being the teachings that help us to free our hearts and minds from the ways that we get caught, the ways that we get reactive, the ways that we get pulled around by the energies of greed, aversion, confusion, delusion. This is really in some ways, this is bringing back in that ethical piece of what and how are we aware in this universe being aware of itself? What perspective are we exploring this awareness from? Appreciation of the Buddha, appreciation of the Dharma, and an appreciation of the Sangha here in this form, seeing all the small tiles, seeing everyone on the screen, knowing that you're all in various places in the country, in the world even. This is our Sangha for the retreat, but it encompasses more than just those of you on the screen, because in a way, as Gil was mentioning, our retreat is broader. And that if your pets need support or your family needs care, that will be your retreat. And so our retreat is really including our families, if we have families. It includes the birds outside the windows that are singing, the dogs that are barking. This is our community of practice together. And the Sangha is really our, in many ways, our support for waking up. The teachings offer that. The Buddha was able to find these teachings, find this path of awakening on his own. And the rest of us need some help. We need support from the teachings, from community of practitioners, from the lineage of beings that have carried these teachings from the time of the Buddha to us. And so, and we can think of these refuges as in some ways we could think of the refuge of the Buddha as being appreciating the actual Buddha, but also appreciating the possibility of awakening, of a human being awakening. The word Buddha means awake. So the appreciating awakening. And how we come to that awakening is the Dharma. The teachings of the Dharma support our minds opening to that awakening. And the support by which we do that is the Sangha. And so we take refuge in all of these together as our support for the practice. And in that community, we engage in ethical commitments, the precepts, which we'll also do together this afternoon, taking the five precepts together. And Gil, we didn't talk about the third precept, whether we would offer the lay or the celibate precept. Do you have an opinion about that?
I think that we should let each person decide for themselves. So the way we word them is the no sexual misconduct, and that each person will, in their hearts, say it or mean it in the way that is best for you. I mean, I think the encouragement is that for sure, this is the best overall, generally, to avoid that kind of sexual relationships while you're on retreat. But with this way things are in your home or situation, who knows? I'm not going to in a position to have any clarity about these things. So I'll let you be the decider. That's my feeling.
It's perfectly in line with my feeling. So great. I'll offer that part as refraining from creating harm through sexuality as we go forward in that. And the precepts here often, this is a lovely reflection, I think, when we're on retreat, we're often in exploring these precepts, we're exploring taking them for the benefit of the retreat container. But here we're also, the retreat container is so much bigger. It includes whoever we're in contact with. If we take a walk in the afternoon, the people that we come into contact with in the walk, it includes them. And so we are taking these precepts not only for ourselves and this community, but also for all of those that we come in contact with. So the best way, I think, I did try doing the precepts, refuges and precepts, with audio on in the last online retreat I did, and that did not work so well. So I will leave my audio on and I will chant the refuges. We'll chant the refuges in Pali, and I think we'll just do this together. rather than call and response, because I won't be able to hear your response. So we'll just chant it together. We'll do the precepts in English. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. For the precepts, I will do them call and response, since you don't know the words I'm going to be using. So I'll say a precept and then wait until I hear most of your mouths stop moving. I undertake the training to refrain from killing living beings. I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given. I undertake the training to refrain from creating harm through sexual energy. I undertake the training to refrain from false speech. I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants, which cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness. Thank you all for taking the refuges and precepts and considering this larger container that we're all together in. So Gil, do you want to say any final words before we part?
Two things. First, for the auditors, I'll meet with you at 5:30. Hopefully you have the link, or if you have, there's time now, if you don't have the connection, that you maybe you can somehow check in with the managers. And for all of us, let's plunge in. That's a technical word. There's a technical Pali word for plunging into the Dharma, plunging into freedom. So let's plunge in.
And there will be the sitting together tonight at 7:30. And Ken will be the practice leader for that. So thank you all.